13. I push open the bedroom door. In front of me, I see Lily's room just exactly as it should be. The pale yellow walls slope down from the ceiling, her bookshelves and storage units tucked against the bottom. There's Lily's bed covered in a pastel coloured throw, the poster on the wall above it showing a picture of the Eiffel Tower. But there's a woman sitting at Lily's desk beneath the skylight window, her black bobbed hair hiding her face from view. For a second, I think it's Mum, but then the woman turns around, and I see with a sudden jolt of surprise that it's Lily. There's a streak of grey at the front of her fringe, like a silver satin ribbon. As her gaze meets mine, Lily's eyes open wide, deepening the lines of her face. She looks even older than Mum. At first, I think this must be makeup of some kind of fancy dress costume, even though Lily's just wearing a normal black top and jeans. "Lily?" I ask, unable to process the picture of my sister. "Is that really you?" "I'm sorry," Lily replies. "I didn't know if you'd recognise me like this." A hand reaches up to her face in a self-conscious gesture. On her inner wrist, I catch a glimpse of a black loop of ink, a tattoo of a Mobius strip. I must look so old. "I don't understand," I say, the sight in front of me even more confusing than everything I've seen so far. "What happened to you?" A single tear creeps out of the corner of Lily's eye and I watch this roll down her face. "Life," she replies, brushing the tear away with the back of her hand. "Life happened to me." I don't know what Lily means. She's only 15 years old. She's got a whole life ahead of her, just like me. This must be some kind of optical illusion, like that picture of an old lady where if you stare at it long enough, you see a young woman appear instead. I just need to keep looking at Lily, and she'll go back to how she's supposed to look. "You've got to help me, Lily," I tell her, trying to force my brain to see things the right way. "You won't believe what's happening out there. There was an infinite staircase outside your bedroom and a black hole in the bathroom. Our house is being erased, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do." I can't stop myself from crying, and through my tears I see Lily's face crumple too, the wrinkles on her forehead furrowing into a brown. "It wasn't supposed to be like this," she says, shaking her head in disbelief. "I thought that deleting the code would just reset the reality. I didn't think it would have a physical manifestation in the virtual world and erase the house around you." I don't know what Lily's talking about. This doesn't even sound like Lily. "What do you mean, reset the reality?" Looking around the bedroom, Lily slowly wipes away her tears. Then she looks up at me. "I'm sorry, Maisie, but none of this is real. This is a computer-generated reality." I laugh out loud. "That's ridiculous," I say, unable to understand why Lily would even say something so stupid. I point to the birthday badge that's pinned to my pyjama top. "I know this is real," I tell her. "I've got my own reality check." Taking the badge off, I jab the pin into my finger, feeling the pain flare like a firework in my mind. Wincing, I watch a droplet of blood well from the pinprick and thrust my hand forward for Lily to see. "Look, I'm bleeding. This isn't Funcart Fury. This is reality." Lily stares at the droplet of blood as it falls from my finger. "That was one of Dad's games," she whispers. "It's been such a long time since I thought about Funcart Fury." The pain in my finger might be fading, but my confusion is only growing. Why is Lily talking like this? It might have been a few months since we last played Funcart Fury, but she's making it sound like it's been decades. "And you're right," Lily continues, her voice barely more than a whisper still. "This isn't a video game. I wanted to make it better than that. I wanted to give you the ultimate virtual reality." I look around the room. Everything seems so real. The revision guides piled up next to Lily's bed, her makeup arranged in front of the dressing table mirror, tiny specks of dust swirling in the beams of reflected sunlight. But then I look back at Lily's middle-aged face and reality starts to fall apart again. "But this is too complex for any computer to generate," I protest, scrabbling to make sense of what Lily's saying. I wave my hand through the air and watch the specks of dust dance. "Look," I say, "even Dad couldn't model the random motion of these particles of dust. It would take hundreds of billions of teraflops of computer power. And that's not all. I can see, feel, hear, taste and touch everything around me. My brain is processing trillions of bytes of information every second. There's no computer that's been built that could create a virtual reality like this." "Maybe not when Dad was making video games," Lily replies with a mournful look in her eyes. "But computers have changed a lot since then. There's something called Moore's Law, which predicts that computers become twice as powerful every 2 years. Everything that a computer allows you to do, from playing games to sending satellites into space, is controlled by its microchips. You know that a computer chip consists of billions of tiny silicon switches that flick on and off billions of times every second. All the information a computer uses is either a 0 or 1, a binary code, depending on whether the switch is open or closed. but today's optical computers flow photons of light between the switches, meaning there's no limit to the amount of information they can process. An entire universe can be replicated in a single microchip. My head's spinning as I try to make sense of this. Moore's law, binary code, computer chips powered by photons of light. How does Lily even know any of this stuff? She failed her mock GCSEs in science and computing. I'm the one who's supposed to be academically gifted. I look at Lily's face, the lines around her hazel eyes creased in concern. I still don't know why she looks so old. If what you're telling me is true, I say, still trying to hold on to some sliver of reality, then why have all these impossible things been happening? I've watched a kitchen expand to fill the universe. I've seen Mum's favourite glass cat get smashed to pieces and then put itself back together again. Outside the front door is an infinite blackness that makes my head hurt. If this is some kind of virtual reality, then why is it so weird? If you can fit the whole universe on a microchip, why isn't it finished? For a moment, Lily doesn't answer. She just sits there in silence, staring at me through a brimming veil of tears. I got things muddled up, she says finally, her voice thick with emotion. I activated your code before I finished building the world, and once I'd realised my mistake, it was too late. You were awake. What do you mean? I say, feeling even more confused than I was before. I've been awake since my alarm went off at 9 o'clock this morning. It's my birthday. I'm 10 years old today. Don't you remember? Lily's really crying now, her shoulders heaving as she tries to hold herself together. I remember, she says, each word a stuttered sob. I remember every moment of that day. Don't you, Maisie? Since I woke up this morning, I've seen black holes and Mobius strip staircases, a tidal wave of nothingness wiping my home away. But as I stare at Lily's crumpled face, I'm starting to feel really scared. I shake my head. So Lily tells me, and I remember everything.